important to underline that this is going to happen after the Church of God is taken out of the scene. It's really important to see that. When you see a big storm or a big earthquake or a tsunami or any of these things, that's not the beginning of the sorrow. And if you think it is bad now, wait. No, I shouldn't say wait, because you shouldn't be here waiting. You should be waiting for the coming of the Lord. It's going to be awful. It's going to be horrible. And I think the encouragement that we have heard, what manner of men we ought to be in this world, not only in a holy living, but also in reaching out to these dying souls around us that are just the God of this age have kind of blinded their eyes. When you read what happened here, I want to compare what Brother Bill, I'm just going to look at it in a different angle here, with Revelation chapter 6. Because this is what's going to take place when the seals are opened. Every one of them. If you look at Revelation chapter 6, again, the church is in the glory already. We are in heaven. And here are the judgment of God coming upon this earth. And if you look at in Revelation chapter 6, the first seal is a white horse. Oh, great. Everything's going to be comfortable and peaceful. And what we have heard about the first thing, deceivers. Everything is okay. Everything is wonderful. A white horse coming in. But then after him, it comes a horse in verse 3 that is red. And what's the result of that is rumors of war and war. And that's verse 6 of chapter 24. If you think that it's bad now, imagine what's going to have to take place. If you read Revelation chapter 11, you read there that the nations will be in rage or in wrath. If you read Revelation chapter 12, Satan is thrown out of heaven, and with him there is a great wrath. If you go to chapter 15 of Revelation, you read about the wrath of God. Now imagine 7 years full of wrath from the nation, from Satan, and from God. Do you want to be there? Do you want to be there? Do you want anybody to be there? So wars and rumors of war. If you go on to the third seal, which is the black horse. And what do you have there? You have famine, right? And that's what we have before us in verse 7. The famine that will take place. If you think food prices are bad now, wait till we're gone. I tell you, if the unbelievers in the world knew it, they should just hold on us with their hands and their feet and keep us here. Because the moment we're gone, things are just going to be... If the economy is bad, they don't know what to bail out Greece or Spain or France or Poland. What do they do? Imagine after that, it's just going to be awful everywhere. And then you go to verse 7 and what you have after that is the pale horse. And it's the whole idea of pestilence, diseases everywhere. That's again verse 7. And then what you have after that in verse 5, in the fifth seal, you have those who are martyrs. We have heard about how they would be persecuted. If they thought the Holocaust was bad, it's going to be 5 billion times worse of what will take place upon these people. Because you are not going to be able to escape if you don't have the mark of the beast. You cannot buy, you cannot sell, you cannot do anything. And I don't want to highlight that because we will get that later on. And then if you read at verse 12, you have the sixth seal that is open and the whole government is turning upside down everywhere. It is spoken of in the scripture in every way. Again, it is not for us just to kind of see, oh, now I figure it out. It is the idea of two things. What manner of men you ought to be in living a holy living. Knowing that earth is not our home. The second thing is to bear testimony, to be zealous in the gospel, to reach out to souls that are going to see a horrible, horrible situation here on earth after we are caught up to be with the Lord.
I wonder if just because of the fact that we have 30 minutes only, if we could focus for a moment on verse 14, where it speaks about this gospel of the kingdom. Perhaps there could be some comments on this verse, because this is a pivotal point. When the Lord Jesus continues after verse 14, he says in verse 15 that there is going to be a time where those who are faithful should flee Jerusalem, because the specific judgments that will take place are getting closer, very imminent, when verse 15 comes along and the things that happen after that, or at least more imminent than before that. But in any case, to lead up to that, could we perhaps have some comments on verse 14? This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. This is really finally what the Lord Jesus is leading up to answer that passage, that section of their question in verse 3. what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Well, the Lord Jesus says, then the end will come. So there's this link with the gospel of the kingdom. Perhaps there could be some thoughts on this.
I'd like to comment on that. In verse 13, we read, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. That cannot possibly apply to us. But there are many dear Christians today who take this as an evidence that we might do not hold eternal security. They love the Lord, but they're not clear on these prophecies. And so they think we have to continue on. We don't know, but someday it'll be revealed whether we be saved. What it speaks here of living persons on earth, passing through these circumstances, these dire straits and trials. And during that time, if you take further in Revelation, while all these seals are true, but always in between, you have a parenthesis where God calls out a remnant. And so here at this time, when this shall take place, there will be a remnant that God will have saved. The remnant, those that will be martyred. But there will be another remnant. There will be a group of believers that the Lord calls my brethren. They will flee to the mountains. And they are the ones, the messengers, that are going to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom. We do not now today preach the gospel of the kingdom. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the grace of God that has picked us out of this world and associated us with Christ in the glory, with that very one who's coming to execute judgment upon all the ungodly, as Jude says, of all the ungodly deeds which ungodly sinners have ungodly committed. That day is coming. And so here now, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness unto all nations. How will that be possible? That preached to all nations. And that in our study on this portion some little while ago was brought out very clear. The fact today, and God is preparing the way. I mean, there's no question about it, that that day is coming. How can, in that short period, this gospel be preached to all nations? Well, there are pockets of Jews throughout the world that are being discovered time and again, where God is moving in a very remarkable way. They speak the language of the nation where they live in, where they're hid away. And in a short notice, these will be the messengers to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And that will be most remarkable, and God will bring out at that time a great ingathering of Gentiles as well as of Jews.
Paul in Acts 14 said, God never leaves himself without a witness. So there is no era in time where God has left himself without a witness on earth. And after the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the testimony of God right now on of the truth, which is the testimony of God right now on earth, when it's taken out of the scene, God will have for himself faithful witness, as Brother Jake was bringing out. Now, those that the Lord could call in Matthew 25, my brethren, they will go out and they will have a gospel to preach. And this gospel, it's not for a Christ who is coming to take them out of the scene and take them to heaven as the gospel of the grace of God, which we preach right now. We preach the gospel that we are loved with an everlasting love, amazing grace, that could take a sinner out of his sins and into the glory of God. This is the gospel of the grace of God, which we preach right now, that you're a sinner, you're lost in your sins. Your sins will take you straight to hell if you don't repent and confess the Lord Jesus as your own Lord and Savior. And then we await for a blessed man in the glory, the Lord Jesus himself, who will come and receive us into himself, into the same glory of God. But their gospel will be totally different. It will be for a Christ who is coming to reign upon this earth. This is why it's called the gospel of the kingdom. And therefore, God will keep for himself those faithful witnesses here on earth. I just want to go back to verse 9 for just one word, for my name's sake. Oh, beloved, this should thrill our hearts. These faithful witnesses, in the midst of the in these hard years, in the beginning of the sorrows, and then in the second half, the great tribulation, they will suffer persecution. They will die for the sake of the Lord. In Revelation 6, we read that they are their souls of those who were killed for the cause of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, why? Why did they do all this? Why did they endure even death? Because of my name's sake. Now let me bring the application to us. Beloved, are we living for the Lord or are we living for ourselves? Romans 14:7. For if we live, we live unto the Lord. And if we die, we die unto the Lord. For whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. For this reason, Christ has also suffered and died and rose again, that he may reign and rule over those who are alive. So may the Lord help us. If we're going through any persecution right now, if we are being suffering persecution, let that suffering and that persecution will be for his name's sake. Peter could say, if anyone is suffering in the will of God, let him entrust himself unto a faithful God. Just want to go back to verse 6 for one quick comment. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be troubled. I don't know how many of us here are up to date with what is going on in the Middle East. But I assure you, dear brothers and sisters, that what we are hearing and seeing, if we're not in Christ, and if we didn't have hope in the Lord Jesus, and if he did not reveal to us what is going on, we would be troubled. But how we can praise God, beloved? Yes, you will hear of these things, but let not your heart be troubled.